All right. Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm a person in recovery. And I consider myself a member of TUSNUA and a bunch of other groups. Yeah, thanks, Louisa, for asking me to speak. I came into recovery in November of 2019, and technically, I haven't had alcohol since early December of 2019, but I began the journey on November 1st, so that kind of has more significance for me. And let's see, I grew up in the Midwest in an Irish Catholic family and went to Catholic school and all that fun stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It was okay in a lot of ways. I had what I needed growing up. And my grandmother was kind of my sole caretaker. But I also there was also chaos. There was also kind of the feeling of not fitting in, and being kind of an outsider, especially at school. Like there definitely was that feeling there. And at home, it was chaotic because, when I was, I don't know, until I was about like 6 years old, things were fine. But kind of, my parents divorced when I was about two. I don't really have any memory of them being together anyway, but they all lived with my grandmother, and I have to imagine there was probably some chaos then too, but I just don't remember. But yeah, like when I was six, my mom got diagnosed with cancer. And so the next 2 years were kind of everything was sort of revolving around her care and my grandmother's attention, especially. And at that time, my older cousin moved in with us, because she'd been having some trouble with at home, I guess. So she kind of moved in, and she kind of became like a figure in my life too, an adult caretaker type person. So what happened was, like, my mom got progressively more ill and did eventually pass away. And meanwhile, my cousin who moved in, her mother, who had had cancer about 10 years before, got it again. And it's genetic. I don't have the gene mutation, but I do have an elevated risk, but I don't have that elevated of a risk, but thank goodness. But so then my aunt ended up passing away a year after my mom. And so, it was just like, okay, my family members are dropping like flies. The sky is falling, So that kind of became a theme in my life, and that's been a theme for a long time, it's hard to break out of that fear, the constant kind of anxiety and fear that that brings. But I'm starting to unravel it, with the help of a therapist as well as support from my recovery friends. But yeah, so and that was strange. And my grandmother did a good job. She did as best she could, but there are moments that I look back, and it's really hard for me because, like, I'm working on step work right now with this book called A Gentle Path Through the 12 Steps. And there's this thing called an abuse checklist. And I do not consider myself someone who was abused in, like, capital A abused, but they consider it neglect. And not having your needs met, sorry, not enough coffee. They consider that abuse, and I really have a hard time with that, saying it that, I just don't really think that's, I think that's a strong word, but yeah, there was some neglect happening, and it wasn't for any diabolical reason. It was just that I wasn't, I guess, I think my grandmother's just kind of checked out. She'd already had eight kids and she was raising me, But she was a very thoughtful, wonderful person. I had to, there were a couple times where my aunts actually stepped in for certain things. Because I also just didn't have much of a voice. Like I didn't really speak up, I still have that problem. When there's people who are more extroverted around, I just kind of close off and go into my shell a little bit. Yeah, so anyway, so that in combination with kind of my school life, which was what in those days you call teasing, today you would call bullying, it kind of did a number on any kind of confidence or self-esteem I might have had. And I'm not saying that to have like a big pity party, but I'm just saying that's kind of where my head is at. That's where my head was at when I came into recovery. And so, this, the, things with my family. I had another aunt who ended up dying about 3 or 4 years after my first aunt died of cancer. So, it was just like, okay, that's gonna be me someday, I'm not gonna live past 40. That's just kind of what I believed for a long time. Those were my core values. I'm not gonna believe, not gonna live past 40. I'm not, I don't know. It just kind of messed me up a lot. And so I became a germaphobe at a very young age. Definitely had like OCD, and my grandmother kind of indulged me. She, I would only eat off certain plates and silverware, so she would give that to me. And finally, by the time I was early, well, 1920, I had started dabbling in having an eating disorder, and I had friends who confronted me about it. And the way they found out about it was kind of shady. So that kind of made me not trust them. But I stopped doing it because I didn't want to lose my friends. But what happened was OCD, like to the 10th power. It was bad. It was to the point where like I couldn't function at work very well. And I did actually go to a psychiatrist. And yeah, they gave me a prescription. I took it for about a week. I didn't like the side effects. It made me very, like, I had to drink a ton of water. Like, I was constantly dehydrated or just dry mouth. And also, it said you couldn't drink while taking it, or you really shouldn't. It was an SSRI. And I decided, well, I'm in my early 20s. I kind of don't really want to not drink. I'm in college, like I just kind of want to like do what you do. So I stopped taking it. I also I have to say my mom had been on lithium and it saved her life. It made her a functional person. So I understand the value of medicine. But for me, I'd always been sort of biased against it because I could see that people, especially in my generation, were being given Ritalin and Prozac, just like freaking candy. And I was like, okay, that seems irresponsible, and I'm not going to be a part of that. And but yeah, I can definitely see that it's important for some people to get past things or to just to have like a more normal life. But I'll get back to that later. But basically, yeah, I decided to drink, and I had my first drink was when I was like probably six. I drank like wine cooler with my cousin. She thought it was soda. It was in a 2 liter bottle, a really big like bottle where you would usually you associate that with like Coca-Cola or something like that. But I knew it wasn't soda. I knew that it was what it was because my mom would always drink that, not excessive amounts of it, but she would have a bottle of that around all the time. So I knew what it was. We got a buzz. It was fun. We were also allowed to have like wine spritzers and stuff on at like holiday dinners and stuff like that. And the first time I got drunk was like, I think, or Yeah, drunk, was 16. I'd had a couple glasses of wine at my cousin's house. She had me over for dinner. She gave me one glass. I got myself another glass. Yeah, so anyway, but I didn't only got drunk a couple times because I didn't really have access, and I was kind of nerdy in high school. So, also interestingly, I was anti-drug in high school, like super anti-drug. I was always like annoyed with people who I assumed were like on a LSD or marijuana or whatever. Like, my friends and I were all like kind of straight edge, but I drank sometimes. Anyway, blah blah blah. So yeah, drinking, when I finally was able to access it on my own, became this thing that I would do to quiet the obsessive thoughts, to not care about germophobia, to just calm down, you know, and to loosen up about other stuff, not be so self-conscious. And it did serve that purpose for a long time. But I mean, pretty much right away, I was a drink too much puker, you know. Now there were times where I would just have one drink or maybe two. There were times when I did have some discipline with it, but I pretty much right away started going to like wineries all the time and stuff. There's actually that's so weird. I had a dream, about the two wineries in my hometown last night. That's so weird. I just remembered that. Anyway, so yeah, and like I guess the only person who ever was concerned was my grandmother, and I had a friend who was kind of concerned, but my grandmother was like, you're going out to these taverns a lot. She called them taverns. And I think she'd been concerned with my mom's drinking when my mom was alive too. Okay, there's a street cleaner going by. Anyway. Okay, sorry. Anyway, maybe you don't hear it, but it's very loud here. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so she was always concerned about that. My eldest uncle and one of my aunts, two of my aunts are alcoholic. Well, one is deceased, and that planted a seed in me, actually. My aunt who passed away, the first aunt who passed away, she was in recovery when she died. And I do remember that. I don't remember much about it, but it did sort of plant a seed. And I've said this before, but you know, she was on very strong narcotics for her pain management, and she was concerned that it was going to compromise her sobriety. That's how serious she was about it. But of course, you know, she was in just so much pain, she had to do something, and it was okay. And my grandmother was a nurse, so I'm sure she reassured her that it was okay. But anyway, I'm just all over the place, sorry. Yeah. I mean, there were so many times where my drinking was out of control. Like I said, I would drink too much and have physical consequences. Plenty of days were lost to hangovers, more than I care to remember. But I also like would act out in certain ways that doing a fourth step inventory, I discovered I have some very unfortunate patterns, and it has to do with sort of like romance and relationship kind of stuff. But I would use alcohol as a tool to get me out of situations I didn't want to be in anymore, that I just couldn't deal with sober. Like I one time I just didn't have the guts to like break up with someone, and I just got drunk and went over and broke up with them finally. And yeah, I mean, I kind of have a problem with like codependence and worrying about being rejected and abandoned and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, like sometimes I would just need to make tough decisions, and I couldn't really do it sober. Like, or I would act out in a way that would just blow up the situation. I did that plenty of times, and I've had to like kind of clean up that wreckage several times. And I'm talking about like relationships ending, engagements being broken off, weddings being canceled, just things that I wasn't prepared to deal with, things I was not prepared to go through with. I just blew up by using alcohol. And I'm not advocating that, but yeah, I'm glad I'm not married. But yeah, so I guess it did sort of work, but like it was so dysfunctional, you know. I never learned how to like kind of be honest with myself or about my feelings. I never felt safe expressing them. And I'm getting better at having harder conversations with people, with close friends and loved ones, but I still tend to avoid. And you know, there's other fellowships that are good for that kind of thing. So, yeah, I wish I had more war stories to tell, but I just can never remember. I always go blank. But I guess it's just enough to describe the feeling just of, you know, being out of control, feeling good at first, but then just trying to chase that first sip and then waking up the next day with lots of remorse, anxiety, so much anxiety, and just physical, you know, just being physically unwell, physical illness, you know. And yeah, it was a cycle that I couldn't get out of. I did finally kind of reach a bottom in 2019. It was kind of my usual pattern. I was feeling rejected, and so I sought validation and I used alcohol to drive that. And it started to feel like alcohol was going to start damaging my work life, my friendships, and my romantic life. You know, it started to feel like it was really closing in on me and also affecting my casts, because this last big bender I went on, or whatever you want to call it, you know, I was away from my cats for over 24 hours, you know, so I was being a bad cat mom. And when I had years ago, I had this dog, and you know, when I was drunk, I definitely there was neglect there, you know, I wasn't always there for him, and I did things that were careless that ultimately affected his health. And not, you know, obviously I didn't mean to do that, but I was drunk and, you know, being just reckless. And I have a really hard time when I think about that. Because, you know, I really love that dog. And so I have to make a living amends to him. You know, I have to treat my animals better than that. So yeah, I decided like I needed AA. Like I knew it was there. I knew I probably needed it. I had a friend in whose mom back in high school took us to an open meeting. She had been very active in AA. I remember when I was hanging out with her daughter in high school, she always had her gals, you know, her AA gals around, and like just seemed very energetic. I really admired this woman. I still do. I still look to her. And that planted a seed, you know. And I think for many years, I'm an alcoholic was a punchline. You know, I would say, oh, I'm an alcoholic, you know, but I pretty much knew, you know, that there was something going on there. And I choose to call it, I'm myself, a person in recovery today because I see it as being just like a bunch of symptoms of the same, you know, core problem of, you know, trauma and just, you know, self-esteem issues and just not knowing how to deal with the world. So, you know, the I would consider the eating disorder and codependence and, love addiction, so-called love addiction, and alcoholism. I'm sure there's other stuff, not being able to deal with people. So, I should probably go to Al-Anon. One of my good buddies was like, we were talking to someone who just came into recovery the other day, and she was saying, I need you to go to Al-Anon. I need to do this. I need to do that. I was like, just keep it simple right now. Just stick to AA. And I said something else, and then my friend was like, said to me, you should probably go to Al-Anon. It's true. I've been on such a like emotional bender lately. I've been so like angry and like cranky, and I'm just so over humanity. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah. Anyway, so I consider myself a person in recovery though, because it's just like, to me, it's more than just the alcohol. That's only one part of it. Yeah. So I started going. I called the hotline and found my local meeting. It was like late on a Friday night. It was so I ended up going to this candlelight meeting, which ultimately became my home group, and started just going to meetings as much as I could. It was hard to balance it with work, and my boss and coworkers were my drinking buddies. So I started going to meetings on a Friday. Saturday night was usually the night we would go out and get drunk after work. And so I had to find a meeting, like right, I had to have an excuse to get out of there as quickly as possible. And so I found like a meeting at a clubhouse in Manhattan. And yeah, so I just kept, tried to go to as many meetings as I could, either in the local area or New York. Perry Street is one of the meetings I would get to sometimes, just because it was a later one. My schedule is weird, like at the time our shifts were like 9 hours, but it took me quite a while to go back and forth. It was, and that's what I'm dealing with right now. It's like a long day, and it's actually feeling pretty unmanageable. So I'm taking a look at that stuff right now, work life balance, all that fun stuff. But so at the time I was like, I can't always make a meeting after work. And I definitely am not feeling like I can make one before, but I need a meeting. Like I was always a, I need a meeting every day kind of person. I started to feel really crazy if I didn't get to one after a few days or whatever. So I actually started going on to telephone meetings, just dialing in, and they're really nice. I really enjoyed that because you could just hear people's voices. I still find it really comforting to just listen to a meeting. Just really nice. And so I would like walk home from the train listening to a dial-in meeting. And yeah. So I got to like my 90 days on March 2nd, 2020. And then a couple weeks later, we were in the Zoomiverse. So I pretty much immediately found myself like a meeting to go to every night. It happened to be a big book study, so but it was every night. It had just been formed because they felt the need to have a meeting too, and it was really good. And in the beginning, it was very good because I was thirsty for knowledge, but I definitely was not. It wasn't totally in alignment with my values or my beliefs or whatever you want to call them, ideas. I got kind of tired of sort of the theistic part of it. But I do really value the basic text of that. But I started to have sort of conflict with the sponsor I had at the time. And just like, yeah, finally I kind of broke it off and I was like, well, actually, I'd had two sponsors during this period. My first sponsor got really busy when the pandemic happened. I got laid off. So I was like, I need more attention. I had to tell her like I have to kind of move forward. But I liked her a lot because she was easy and just easy to get along with and had a light touch, and very open-minded about some things that from the beginning I've always had certain ideas about recovery, and she was very open-minded about what I was talking about. Even the most free thinker type people haven't necessarily displayed that same open-mindedness. So I thought that was very impressive. But I just needed more attention at a certain point. And so I found someone else, but then it was just clear that she had a lot going on for one thing, and the other thing was the God bit. And so I just didn't have a sponsor for a while, and I just started like diving into secular meetings. And I found the Toronto meetings, and I found Secular Recovery Group, and those were kind of ones that I would go to. Also, when I was doing Zoom, I was not really, I did New Jersey meetings for a while, but I was like, I don't know. I want to like kind of go exploring. So I did do a New York meeting. The New York Agnostics was a big one that I was into that first year. But I liked zooming into like other, Ireland, California, Canada, all over the place. I just wanted to like explore. And that turned out to be a really good thing because like I met a lot of people and there's all sorts of different styles of meetings. So summer of 2020 is like when I started. I spoke for the first time on a meeting, and then I started to do some service, and that really kind of like transformed things for me. And then like late 2020, I think, is when I first maybe hopped on to Tasnua, and it was like the early the next year that I don't know, kind of started talking to people and meeting people, and it kind of became, I guess, my home group for a while or something. I don't know. I mean, if I said all the home groups I think I have, like, it's just ridiculous. I have a lot of home groups, I guess. I guess that's not a bad thing. But anyway, yeah, so then I was asked to by Mark to start hosting the Saturday speaker meeting. And so I did that for, I think I did it for like 7 months or something like that. And let me say, 6 months is probably when you start to get burnt out, if I'm going to be honest. I think service is awesome, but it is also nice to like rotate out because, it's really cool to have to be somewhere every week, but then it becomes like, oh, is it cool? I don't know. I kind of want to sleep in, or I kind of want to do something else today. But you figure it out once it's like not really working out anymore. But I did that for a long time, and picked up some other service positions. And I'm proud of the work that I've done for the recovery world, and I think speaker meetings are probably my favorite, and literature would be a close second. Yeah, so I guess to just briefly check in today, I've been, like I said, I was sort of like on an emotional bender, I guess, lately, just feeling kind of ill at ease and cranky. But, I am a 44-month-old, so about 3.5 years. I'm just a cranky 3-year-old is how I like to phrase it. And I think there is a lot of growth happening and a lot of realizing like the way things are is not good enough. Like I need to make improvements. Like there's areas in my life that are just not what I want them to be. And some of these things have been like this for a very long time. And I've just sort of put up with it because there were other things that were more pressing. But now that the alcohol's gone, and it's been gone for a long time, I'm happy to say, well, yeah, I had a close call the other day, where I had a really rough day at work, and that was like always my number one trigger was stressful work day, someone being nasty, and me just internalizing it. And so on my walk home one night, it was a Saturday night too. That was always the worst. Yeah, it was a Saturday night. I thought, boy, that liquor store looks good. Boy, that champagne sounds good, or Prosecco or whatever. But I didn't, and I immediately logged on to a meeting that I try to log on to on Saturday nights. So it was fine, but it was just like a moment. Also, I remembered I had a candy bar that helped me. Although, add that to the recovery spider. I need to recover from sugar too. But yeah, I've been alcohol free for 3.5 years, and so the fog has lifted in a lot of ways, but there's still like emotional stuff going on, and I would not say I'm always emotionally sober or whatever you want to call it, emotional sobriety. But yeah, and especially not lately. I've just been feeling very cranky and angry. Let's not be euphemistic about it. I've been feeling angry lately and frustrated, and yeah, just trying to like figure out some things, work related stuff. I am actively seeking new employment, and I'm still at my old job, but I don't know. I would like to do something new. I've been there for many years, and kind of know what to expect from it, but I kind of just want more in life, you know. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to go about it. I'm also trying to like chip away at my debt, because I did accrue some debt over the last few years. So add that to the blob too, the recovery blob. But yeah. And I'm just trying to figure out the best way to go forward. I would say I also feel stressed out in my relationship from time to time, and I'm just trying to learn how to like be a responsible person in a relationship. That's new for me. It doesn't come easily to me. I want to just like retreat and hide and avoid. But like I've actually been able to like be honest and open about my frustrations and things, and we've been able to work through that so far. But yeah, like right now I'm just having this feeling of I need to be more true to myself. I have to start listening to that inner voice. I've ignored that inner voice for so many years because it was inconvenient or unpleasant. And that's really hard. It's hard to be true to yourself sometimes, or for me it is. But I don't feel right when I'm not acting according to that voice or my values. And I'm still learning how to like I said, I've been feeling angry lately, but I've always been an angry person. I remember as a child, I would have outbursts and I would just get so frustrated and so angry. And I don't think anger is a bad thing, but I've just never figured out how to process it or whatever. Actually, I started reading this book called Rage Becomes Her, and it's about women's anger specifically. But so I'll let you know what I think when I finish reading it. I can't remember everything about it right now. But yeah, I want to understand it. And like I said, I am in therapy. I hope to dig deeper on the like traumatic stuff and get a solution for that rather than pouring alcohol on it or putting any other kind of band-aid on it. I want to like dig down into it and figure it out, or at least be at peace with it. Because it still drives me. A lot of those fears and everything just drive me still. I feel most okay when I'm engaging with recovery friends, or even just close friends who are not in recovery, when I'm being creative, when I'm doing service work. Those are the times that I feel the best about myself and about my life. And when I'm with my cats, even when they are driving me crazy. But, and when I'm in nature too. And, you know, eventually I do want to go exploring and kind of do some alternative types of therapy that are becoming very much the norm now. We're in the middle of a renaissance right now. But I think that's a very much outside issue, so I'm going to stop there. Thanks again for having me. Tasnua feels like home. I should definitely mention that being a part of Tasnua really transformed my recovery. It's a great group, great meetings. So thank you so much for having me speak.